Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our Father, I thank you. What a privilege to stand again in this special spot. How wonderful to feel like standing and proclaiming the message of God, and how I want to glorify your name for what you've done for me and the many others in our church. We praise your name. We were thinking about Jenna. And Lord, I pray that you'll just let the doctor find the right answer for her tumor. And Lord, we're looking for another miracle. We know that you've already performed one, but we're waiting again on you to perform another. And I pray for thanks for everything that you've done for each one. And we're going to continue to bless your name for all that you do. Take the message now and use me that the message may come across as you'd have it to. In Christ's name, for his sake, amen. Now the text says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then it says, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now I'm going to tell you, this is a hard order. For the man who lives in the world and who is unsaved, it's almost impossible for him to not fall to doing some of the things that are listed. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In fact, if you stop to think about it, you who are now saved, that there was a time in your life when you about all the time had on your mind the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, preacher, I wasn't that bad. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have had people to tell me, well, preacher, you think that God is the driving force in this world. You think that Jesus Christ, and he is to those of us who know Christ. But I want to tell you, the driving force in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, whether you want to accept that or not, that's your business. But honestly, for the unsaved man, that is almost all that's up on his mind if you consider what they cover. You see, this covers almost everything. The pride of life, that's one of the hardest things for the average human being to not want. We want pride, and we'll do anything in order to get that. We want to be proud. And God says that the humble are the ones he's going to bless. We want things in this world. So this is a hard order. And I want you to understand tonight that you can't do it on your own, you who are unsaved. But the problem is, for those who are saved, let me remind you that though you have been saved, oft times we forget where our joy comes from. We forget where our blessings come from. We forget that God is the one that gives us the happiness that we need. And so often we go searching for something that we can't find. We often, as a Christian, fall into sin because we fail to look to God for the blessings that we need. I'm going to tell you, this world system is imposing and powerful with armies and fleets. And we have the idea we can do anything in America, and it's offered often outwardly religious. The people of this world are scientific, they're cultured, they are eloquent, and most often, I want you to understand, dominated by satanic forces. So this is a hard order to follow. Lust not, love not the things of the world and the things of the flesh. This morning I used an analogy to show you where I was coming from, and I talked about the airplane beam, the radio beam that an airplane follows, and I talked about getting off the beam, and I gave you several ways in which you can get off the beam. And so tonight I'm going to continue on to show you how you get off the beam as a Christian. Number one, you get off the beam when you get angry. I bet every one of us are guilty of that. No doubt every one of us. But you know, here's what happens. Something goes against the grain, and you just boil over like a kettle of hot water sitting on a hot stove. And you say, well, now that's just me. I'm one of them fellows that I get mad real quick and I throw a fit, but it's over pretty soon. You know what that sounds like? Billy Graham said, it sounds like putting off a shotgun. It just takes a second for that thing to go off, but it damages everything it hits. How much damage do you think that you do to yourself and to those around you every time you get angry? Now, I'm not saying I don't get angry. It's been a long time since I've been mad enough to hit my wife, but then... But you know what? I'm telling you, every one of us get angry. Sometime or other. And it's often over some little old simple thing that we thought ought to be different, but I want you to understand that you must not get angry, else you're off of the beam that God wants you to live in. That's out of the will of God. We're not to do this, my friend. We are to live the way we ought to live for Him. Many years ago, when I lived at Mount Lookout, I had some batteries sitting up on the shelf, and I'd fill them batteries up and keep them charged, you know. They're automobile batteries. And went out there one day, they're sitting on a wooden shelf, and this acid had spilled over onto them wooden shelves, and boy, it was just eating up that wood. Well, now that's exactly what anger does to you. Every time you allow anger to get into your life, it causes you to be deteriorated. Your spiritual life is going downhill. You're off the beam. You're not doing what God wants you to do. And God is not pleased with your life. So that's number one. Number two, I want to show you another one that you do. You get angry get off the beam when you quit serving God. I hear people all the time say, well, the church doesn't need me. Well, I want you to understand the church needs everybody, every one of you. If we're going to carry on the work of God at this place, we need every single member to help carry on this work. It's not a matter that you can just come once in a while. It's not a matter that you can just serve who you want to. You know, it's important that we realize that you are needed, and every time one goes away, it makes it just that much weaker. Here's a line of men, 100 men, standing in a line, and one man goes home. That line is weakened by that one who left. Here's a wheel. Everybody knows what a wheel is. And it's got all these spokes around it, and if you take one spoke out of it, that wheel is weakened just that much. So you need to realize, my friend, that you are needed. Now, a lot of people think they have to be faithful because they have a big job in the church. You know what? Oftentimes, that person who has no job in the church but comes and fills their place in the church and sits there and worships God is a lot more important than those who come who have a big job and putting on a show with it. You don't like that, I know. But that's exactly what people do. Folks, you get off the beam whenever you're not doing the will of God for your life and for the church. Many Christians served well in other days. I remember in other churches, people who would never miss a service, would never go anywhere. They'd always in church. They served God faithfully, and then all of a sudden something happened and they quit. Now that you never see them. What happens? Is it that way in a marriage? Do you get to the point in your life where you just like to walk off and leave your wife and just leave her alone, husband or wife? Is it that way in your life? Listen, my friend, you need to be faithful to everything that God's called you to, and that is to do the will of God for your life. Number three, you get off the beam when you seek happiness elsewhere except in Jesus and His service. Listen to this statement. This world is filled with unhappy people. Now, I mean that. The devil does not have any old happy people. He doesn't. The devil has a lot of old unhappy people. They have no hope in their lives for tomorrow. They have no hope in their lives for the future. They are hungry-hearted in every way. These people who are unhappy have nothing to live for because they're seeking their happiness in the wrong places. Happiness is not found only in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can search for happiness any way you want to. You can get hunt for it in a bottle. You can hunt for it in pleasure. You can hunt for it in buying material things. You can hunt for it in making money, but you're still going to come up unhappy. There is nothing that will give you the happiness that you need only in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I've never had much in my life anyhow, and the less I get now and the older I get, the happier I am in Christ. I mean that. I don't need a thing. All I need is a bed to sleep and a few morsels of meat to eat or whatever, and that's all I need. And God is supplying my need, and He'll supply your need. That's all you need to have happiness in your life. I read the story about a dying man, and he was laughing, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Don't you know you're dying, son?" He said, "Yes, I do." "And why are you laughing?" He said, "I met a man a long time ago that made me laugh, and he's still making me laugh, and his name's Jesus Christ." So, folks, you get off the beam when you search for your happiness in anywhere else. Just go ahead and try it. You'll find you'll be back to church wanting to find your happiness and get it back. And then you get off the beam when you fail to trust God completely. He wants us to trust Him for everything. And most of us are guilty right here. Here's what happens. Something happens that you didn't expect. Some trouble comes along. What do? First thing we do is worry. That's what we do. We worry. Now, I'm going to say it as bluntly as I know how, with all the love I know how. Worry is sin. Now, just take it any way you want. Worry is sin. If you're worrying, you're not trusting God, you see. And God wants us to trust Him. Now, here's the way it is. A husband promises a woman, "I'll take care of you," and she expects it, and oftentimes he fails. A father promises to feed and clothe his children, and all time he fails. But God promises to take care of me, and He has never failed me. He'll never fail you. There are two things that I think ought to make you trust God implicitly. Number one, you ought to realize that God has made promises in His Bible, and He promises to take care of you, and He will take care of you. God can be trusted to take care of you. Number two, the reason you ought to trust Him is to look back at what He's already done for you. How many times have I been in the hospital in my lifetime? I've lost count. But He's got me through every one of them, you know. He's never failed me. No matter whatever has happened, He has never failed me. I learned to trust Him a long time ago, and He keeps on taking care of me. I trusted Him for then, and I can trust Him for now, and I can trust Him for the future. He's going to take care of me. If you'll just stop and remember what He's done for you, and He's done something for everybody in this building. If you'll just stop and remember what He's done for you, then I'll say you must realize you have to trust Him to stay on the beam. Get this one. You get off the beam every time you sin. Every time you sin. God's line is a straight line. It's not a matter of walking this way a while, and then this way a while, and then this way a while. You're sinning when you get off the beam. Anytime you get off the beam, you're sinning. Many a plane has wrecked, and they found out the fact was the plane was off the beam. It's flying too low, and it crashed. If you get off the beam, it may mean the wrecking of your life. You see, here's what happens. A man was laid up in a hospital with a broken leg, and somebody came to him and said, "Well, how'd you break your leg?" And he said, "Well, I knew it was slick and icy on this particular street, so I went down a whole other street in order to get to my house so I wouldn't get on that slick street and fall. But when he got to his house, there was one little place, and he fell and broke his leg. Well, that's the way it is with life. We're walking down life trying to stay out of trouble, but all of a sudden a little bit of sin gets in our lives, and we cater to it, and pretty soon we're doing it, and pretty soon you've got a wreck in your life. Why? Because you got into sin. You got off the beam. And too many people blame the environment in which they live. They say, well, now where I live, you just don't know how bad it is down there in that town I live in. Or they blame somebody else. You just don't know what I have to live with. Or you don't know how bad that crowd is. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says in Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. In other words, I'm going to give you the remedy for not sinning. All you got to do is hide God's word in your life. It's kind of hard to sin when you're reading the Word. It's kind of hard to sin when you're praying. It's kind of hard to sin when you're serving God. That is the remedy for sin in your life. And you're off the beam any time you let sin get into your life. So Jesus is the greatest prevention for sin in the world. And every time you sin in deed or in word, put this one in your mind or in thought. You see, the Bible said where I read my text, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you can't do any one of them without thinking. It's impossible to think and not think about them things. You see, if you got pride in your life, brother, you're thinking about sin. If you got lust in your life, you're thinking about sin. So I'm saying to you, if you sin in word or deed or thought, you're off the beam. You're not in the will of God. And that beam is the only way to find happiness in this life. When that plane goes off the beam, that pilot pretty soon finds that beam and gets back on it. Else there will be an accident. I want to tell you tonight, I expect I've spoken to somebody, maybe everybody here, has gotten off the beam one way or the other. And this is the night to come back and get on that beam. Let me illustrate and I'll close. Many years ago, it had to be many years ago because the way the story goes, this little boy and his mom was walking down the street and they came to a candy store. And he asked his mommy for a penny. Now, you don't buy no candy for a penny today, see. But he asked his mommy for a penny, and he gave him a penny, and he went in the store, and he stayed, and he walked up and down the aisle, and he looked at every case of candy, and boy, he wanted some of it, but he didn't know what to buy. Finally, his mom opened the door and said, "Son, hurry up, we got to go." He said, "Mom, I just got one penny, and I want to spend it right." You got one life. You ought to want to spend it right. Because when you come down to the end of the way, it don't matter what you had while you was in life. It matters how you lived it. I'm going to close with this thought. It's better to die for something than to live for nothing. And that's what an awful lot of people are doing, living for nothing. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless tonight. I ask you to speak to hearts. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to challenge us to stay on that beam. And Lord, I pray that if there are some here who need to get back on that beam, you speak definitely to their heart. Lord, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. We're only trying to help people. We're not trying to show our hatred but our love to mankind to help them to do what they need to do in their life to please you. We're going to give an invitation, Lord, the one that you've already given. The invitation says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And Father, that invitation goes out. You touch hearts, tender them, cause them to come. In Christ's name, for His sake, amen. Brother Tom, we're going to sing 82. Stand together with me and let's sing. And why don't you just step out and come down and say, "Preacher, I want you to pray with me that I get back on the beam." All right? God will take care of you. Listen now. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care.